This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Joining us on the Trocare College live line, tech reporter Mike Dubusky. A lot going on, of course, as it always is in the tech world. But Mike, I kind of start with yesterday. Microsoft closed the door on Skype, which it's hard to imagine, but it wasn't that long ago. I think less than a decade ago, when Skype was almost like Kleenex or Xerox. I mean, it was the verb you used,
right,
when you described a video call or something like that. And they go from that to not existing anymore in such a short order. Where did it all go wrong for, I mean, what seemed like a company that was going to, you know, take over that technology?
Yeah, 300 million people used Skype every month in 2016. Just about a decade ago, it was at the peak of its popularity. It was just a few years after Microsoft took control of that company. It was actually founded all the way back in 2003 as sort of a computer-to-computer phone call service. Of course, phone call is a bit of a misnomer there. It's a computer-to-computer calling service that they eventually added video chat to. eBay took control of that company in sort of the mid-2000s, but were unable to really integrate that into their online auctioning service. And then Microsoft came along in 2011 and bought it for $8.5 billion, just speaking to exactly how valuable tech companies really thought video calling was going to be in the 2010s. And as we said, for much of the 2010s, Skype was dominant, right? Skype was sort of at the top of its game. And then during the pandemic, it saw a surge in users. In March of 2020, Skype calls saw a 70% jump from the month prior as people started working from home, relying on video calling technology. But by that time, guys, a lot of other competitors had started to enter the market, not just things like Zoom, which is now ubiquitous, but also things like FaceTime, which you might not immediately think of as a competitor to Skype, and also things like Slack, the workplace software, or Discord, which is mostly used in the game streaming service. A lot of these sort of not like video first apps started adding video components to themselves, which lessened the need to jump over to Skype when the thing you were using already had a video chat capability. So all these sort of factors culminated to yesterday when Microsoft announced that Skype is shutting down. They're moving everyone over to their workplace software, Microsoft Teams, which of course has its own video chatting capabilities.
It was pretty stunning to learn that. Well, you know, in other, I guess, tech business news, OpenAI says it's going to remain a nonprofit rather than a for-profit company. How big a deal is that?
Yeah, so this requires us to talk a little bit about how OpenAI is structured, which is weird. Right now, they are a nonprofit board that controls a for-profit LLC company. So it's a nonprofit in charge of a for-profit company. That for-profit company makes the subscriptions that you would pay for if you want to use, you know, ChatGPT, if you want to use their image generating or video generating services. And they, for a long time, have been trying to shed that nonprofit status, right, to get out from under the board board and just operate like Meta or Google or Apple does, like a normal tech company. However, they faced substantial opposition to that plan. Last month, a group of ex-employees, Nobel laureates, law experts, they all sent letters to the California and Delaware attorneys general saying that allowing the company to go fully for-profit would let them abandon their nonprofit goal of creating good, safe AI, right? That this would allow the company to sort of focus entirely on profits at the expense of the safety concerns that many have raised about this generative artificial intelligence technology. They've also been engaged in a protracted legal battle with Elon Musk, who co-founded OpenAI, over many of these same questions. So yesterday, OpenAI announced that they're basically abandoning the plan to become a for-profit company. They are going to remain under a nonprofit board. The LLC company will become what's known as a public benefit corporation, which changes equities and what have you. But for the most part, the structure is remaining the same.
So how are they going to make money? Or are all these investors still going to be pouring money into OpenAI or look for another AI platform where they might be able to faster recoup their investment?
It's a good question, right? I mean, to a degree, OpenAI is the company that is safest in the AI space right now, if only because the most attention is being put on them. Sam Altman, obviously a very popular public figure in the AI space and is a valuable brand into himself. So investors are still attracted to the OpenAI project. However, you know, none of these companies really make money off of their AI tools, and it costs a lot of money to build them. Right. Not only do you have to create the technology that undergirds it, you have to go find, you know, information across the internet to train these models on. You have to occasionally fight legal battles with people who claim copyright on that information. There's a lot of cost that goes into this, computing and otherwise. And the fact that none of these products, ChatGPT's subscriptions, DALL-E 3 subscriptions, are really generating the amount of profit needed to cover those costs, that's going to be sort of a long-term concern for these companies. But as of right now, investors are still dedicated to this project. They're still dedicated to OpenAI. So they seem to have at least the short-term future ironed out, even if it wasn't exactly how they thought it was going to pan out right now.
All right. And something new. Orbs are coming. What is this?
Orbs are coming, yes. So we have to talk about a new company first before we talk about the orbs. This is a new company called World. They, in San Francisco last week, held an event announcing an American expansion. They have been operating around the globe for a little while. Sam Altman, head of OpenAI, is one of the major investors in this company. And what this company is aimed at doing is providing a way to prove your humanity online. And the way they do this is through orbs. What you do is you walk up to one of these small chrome orbs. They're about the size of a bowling ball, and they have a small screen on them. And you look into that screen, it scans your eyeball, and then from that iris scan, it generates what's known as a biometric identifier. And this identifier, guys, is meant to be the thing that you carry around with you in your online life, to your banking app, to your e-commerce apps, to your social media, science and technology apps. Even Tinder is using this right now in Japan to verify people's humanity, verify that the person that you're talking to is a real person and not a bot, not spam. World says that this is going to become increasingly important as more AI-generated content floods our feeds. We're going to need a way to determine what's real and what's not. But as you can imagine, guys, this is raising a lot of privacy concerns as well. You are not just collecting a password, after all. You're collecting a piece of biometric data, a piece of a person's body.
Yeah. Not a fan of that, though. I'm also not a fan of being tricked by AI stuff, which happens more. I don't know if, Mike, you're like me. I was one of these people. Like, yeah, I'm not dumb enough to be tricked by AI or Photoshop or anything. And then, you know, the Pope was in that fancy jacket that one time, and I was like,
Yeah, the Pope got me. The puffer Pope got me at the end of the day. Yeah. And that was a couple years ago. And you can imagine the advancements that have been made since then. It's a thorny question. Is this the answer? I think there are some real question marks around that.
All right, crazy stuff. Hey, Mike, thank you. Mike Tobusky joining us live this morning.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.